What makes a truly great memoir? A fascinating life, sure, but it helps if the subject is also a skilled writer. I'm Lisa Morgan, and today on The Weekly Reader, our book critic Marianne Winnick reviews three new, well-crafted, intriguing memoirs. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Lisa. First up, Small Town Girls by Jane Ann Phillips, a collection of personal essays by the much-awarded fiction writer, a combination of memoir and reportage on topics such as the Hatfield-McCoy feud and a shooting at a church in Kentucky. Phillips' prose is unflagging in its beauty and rhythm, and the memoir-leaning pieces have a special glow, infused with her profound nostalgia for her Appalachian childhood. From a dreamy, seductive recollection of the beauty salon in her small West Virginia town, quote, "Quiet now, they lay back in their chairs, heads swallowed up by the deep slotted sinks. I noticed how their legs fell slightly apart, their hands relaxed. Uniformed girls massaged their scalps with careless efficiency, and the women closed their eyes. Women went to the beauty shop to be with other women, to engage in private rituals that supposedly had to do with men, yet men were wholly absent." As the Kirkus reviewer pointed out, West Virginia has no more eloquent and grateful daughter. And boy, can she write. In Labor, a debut memoir by Mary Afsari, an Iranian-American OBGYN shares a stirring report from the trenches of women's health care. In addition to the hair-raising, nail-biting patient stories you would expect, two major elements make her memoir stand out. One is the fact that she runs her practice out of an RV in order to bring care to patients who fear traditional medical environments, and the other is the role of her Iranian heritage in her career choice. Afsari's nuanced defense of women's right to choose, written from the perspective of a person who has been by the bedside in many life-or-death situations and who has been personally coping with the brutal after-effects of the Dobbs decision. Her story is the next best thing to the way of understanding she often recommends to legislators, which is that they put on a pair of scrubs and spend 24 hours with her in the hospital. And finally, let's talk about She's Under Here by Karen Palmer, one of the last reviews I got to do for the Washington Post before they shuttered the book section, a horrible decision, which we can only hope is temporary. It came back from the ashes at least once before. Karen Palmer's tautly strung memoir begins with a compelling chapter titled The Reader is the Protagonist, which was selected for Best American Essays of 2017 by Leslie Jameson. One can see why. In it, Palmer both introduces her red-hot material and shows that she has the self-awareness, the narrative skill, and the years of distance required to plumb the depths of her extremely difficult decisions and controversial actions. In 1989, the freshly minted Karen Palmer and her husband of about a week, Vinny, packed up a carload of possessions, every cent they had, and Palmer's two daughters, aged 3 and 7, and left California for what she calls a do-it-yourself witness protection program. They were running from Palmer's ex-husband, a man she had been with since high school. But when she left him for an old friend, he turned violent and dangerous. She certainly convinces us that he was a monster, but she also knows that the term for what she has done is parental kidnapping. From the very beginning, the reader is full of questions. How can she even be writing this? Is Gil dead? Is he in prison? Are these their real fake names? Go ahead and read the book to find out.
The books are Small Town Girls by Jane Ann Phillips, Labor by Mary Afsari, and She's Under Here by Karen Palmer. You can find more information about these titles in our podcast at WIPR.org or wherever you get your podcasts. For The Weekly Reader, I'm Lisa Morgan.
And I'm Marianne Winnick.